Okay, Matthew chapter 1, primarily. We'll bounce around a little bit. How many? I asked you this a little while ago. How many of y'all know Christmas is right around the corner, right? Like right around the corner, a couple days. People keep saying to me that we just didn't see it coming this year. And it's really like that around, at least around this part of the world anyway, just because we've been kind of distracted a lot. And it is what it is, and it was what it was, and it doesn't change what we're celebrating, right? Amen. In fact, it should enhance our celebration. It should enhance our worship, because storms come and go, but the Lord stays eternally. So we should, if we're not ready, I would suggest maybe work on getting ready for Christmas. That was primarily for the guys. Yeah, I know you guys ain't shopping, doing any shopping yet. I'm going to read this here. The Charlie Brown Complex, have y'all ever heard about that? Most of us older folks know who Charlie Brown is. In a Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie Brown was having trouble getting into the Christmas spirit. So Linus said, "Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem." Unfortunately, some Christians seem to have the same problem as Charlie Brown. When we should be lifting up our Lord and Savior, we get focused on things that are not so great in our life. And it's hard, isn't it? You can't ignore things that are so big sometimes. It's just right there. However, if we really consider what Christmas is all about, if we really consider what the Christian life is all about, if we really consider who Jesus is and what he came into this world to do and did, it seems to me that we should always have a Merry Christmas because of that. If that's who we are in Christ, if that's what it's all about, right? If that really is what it's all about. Have you ever met anybody that actually missed Christmas? Like just one day, it was like, oh, when did we have Christmas? I mean, maybe some extreme situations would cause that. Maybe. I just can't see how somebody might miss Christmas. At least on the calendar anyway. Maybe people are going through the motions. Maybe they're shopping and they're gift giving and gift receiving and they're having their Christmas meals and they're taking off for work and they're visiting with their families or whatever it is they do. But you realize that you can do all of those things and still miss Christmas if you're not careful, if you're not aware, or if your faith journey, if your Christianity, your commitment to Christ isn't genuine, you can miss Christmas. You won't even know you missed it. If you miss it in that manner, it could happen and you wouldn't even know it. I'm going to read out of Matthew and a little bit out of Luke today because it's the Sunday before Christmas. We have Christmas and we're probably going to read some of this again on Tuesday night when our Christmas Eve time of fellowship and worship. But it's important to read these over and over because it's important to understand the details. Really, in verse 18, you can just look into your Bibles. Let's just read Luke first because I had it one way and then I changed my mind. So that's why I got them backwards. Luke chapter 1, let's go over there first and then we'll come back to Matthew because we're going to focus in Matthew a little bit. Luke chapter 1 is the birth of Jesus foretold, right? Verse 26 to 38. So let me go through this really quickly, and then we're going to talk about how to make sure that we don't miss Christmas each year. Verse 26 of chapter 1 in Luke. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And finally in verse 38, "And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now, I don't know about you, but that is an amazing account, an amazing story, right? And that's one part of the story according to Luke in his gospel. So when we go back to Matthew in chapter 1, and we start in verse 18, we read this version. Verse 18 of chapter 1 of Matthew says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Those two together tell an amazing story of God's plan for salvation, tells an amazing story of God's willingness to use people for his will. It's an amazing story of these two individuals surrendering to God's will in the middle of what we might consider, and maybe they considered, this is unbelievable what's going on here. We have to ask ourselves, if an angel showed up and started talking to us about anything, how would we react? Let alone the things that these angels talk to them about, you see. Because not only did an angel of the Lord show up and begin a conversation, which should instigate fear and reverence in our hearts, as it did for them. But then the angel began to give them information that just seemed impossible. Right? Except for God. So there's all kinds of impossibilities and unbelievable events and just downright far-fetched facts in this story. And here we are on Sunday morning, believing it as absolute truth, counting on it to be absolute truth, because it means salvation for all of us, you see. If we don't believe this story, then we can't believe the rest of the account of Jesus' life on the planet, which means we could not believe that he did go to the cross for the sins of man, right? So why is Christmas so important? Not to miss it, you see. If we miss Christmas, then we might miss Easter, y'all. And if we miss Easter, then we might miss eternity. Hello? And I know that every time I get up here or get anywhere in the presence of other believers and start preaching about salvation and the gospel and the Christmas story, it's real tempting to sit back and say, okay, it's the standard Christmas sermon. We've all heard it before. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go eat. And if that happens, y'all, you've missed Christmas. Right? You've missed Christmas, or you're in danger of missing Christmas. Let's put it that way. It's a tool that Satan would use to get us comfortable as believers. Right? Because we know what we believe about Christmas. We know what we believe about Jesus. We know what we believe about Easter. And our salvation is secure. Y'all know what I'm waiting for when I give you that dramatic pause, right? Our salvation is secure. We know it.
Amen.
All right. And it's all because of what we just read, isn't it? Because if Jesus doesn't come into this world like you and me in the flesh, we have no hope if this story is not true. If this is just some kind of fairy tale, then we have no hope and we're wasting our time here. Right? But we know better. Why do we know better? Because we've received the information and we've made a choice to believe that it's true based on all the information that we have received. Namely, the information that comes right out of the Word of God. And our first act of faith was to consider that this Bible is God's Word. And it is absolute truth. That's where it starts. If you can't receive that truth, then you may not receive the rest of the truth that's in it. And you'll miss Christmas. And you may have a good time at Christmas and you may get a lot of great gifts, or you may be the greatest gift giver in the world. But if you miss Christmas, you may be in trouble. Right? Which, for the believers, for all of us who are believers, just being reminded of that fact should instigate a thought in our hearts and in our minds. The Spirit of God should say, oh, wait a minute. If I could miss Christmas, that means somebody else could miss Christmas. Somebody in my family might miss Christmas. My neighbors might miss Christmas. Maybe some folks in the church might miss Christmas. You see, this is no different than the assignment that we all have, go into the world and make disciples. Right? Because as long as it's not about, let me make sure I don't miss Christmas. Let me make sure that Jesus is the center of it all. The center of it all. Let me make sure that it's all about the birth of my Savior so that he could go to the cross in my heart and in my mind and even in my home. And if that's where it stops, I think maybe we still might be in danger of missing Christmas. Because it's just the same thing. When I first heard the gospel, when you first heard the gospel and you said to yourself, oh, I might be in danger here. I might need Jesus. I might need to get saved here. And then the moment we get saved, and the moment the Spirit of God comes into our life, and the moment we start realizing that we just had a near-death experience, then we start looking around the world and it's like, man, I wonder how many other people almost didn't get saved. I wonder how many other people aren't saved yet. You need to know about Jesus. That's how you can tell if somebody really got saved. They can't stop talking about it. Running around and say, I bet you don't know what happened to me yesterday. I got saved. You got what? Oh, yeah, I got saved. Saved from what? Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because we need to talk about this, right? That's how it goes. And unfortunately, the older we get and the longer time goes on and the further away from our moment of salvation it becomes, the easier it is to miss Christmas. Because we're not as excited. You know the fire that was lit when you got saved, and that thing was white hot, stoked by the Spirit of God, right? And it's just blowing the gospel out of you. But over time, if we're not careful, it'll just come down to a little fire. Still on fire for the Lord, but it's not as urgent. It's not on the front of our minds. Still praising God for our salvation, still praising God for Jesus. And then as we go along further and further, it's like a little candle. It's still there. You're still saved. You still love the Lord. You will tell somebody about it if they come and ask you, but you don't think about it as much. And when you somewhere along the line is where it's easy to get caught up into the world's idea of Christmas and fade away from the reality of Christmas. And that's when you're in danger of missing Christmas, you see. So it's not just, let me make sure I don't miss Christmas. It really is, I need to make sure I don't miss Christmas because I need to help other people not miss Christmas. Because John 3:16 says, whosoever. And how dare I step into God's grace and call that good enough, as if I'm the only one. Who am I to try to keep that to myself as if I could and not try to share it with others? Here you have Joseph and Mary. These angels showed up in different ways and talked to them and said some truth to them, and they received it by faith, y'all. They just believed God. You see, it's by faith that you secure Christmas in your heart. It's by faith that you celebrate Christmas. It's by faith that we receive this story about Joseph and Mary and Jesus and his birth. It's by faith that we celebrate the fact that all of this is true. You see. Did any of you see this happen? Did any of you see Mary talk to this angel? Did you see the dream that Joseph dreamt? Did you see when she went and had Jesus in the manger? In the barn? Did you see when the people came afterwards to come and see the Lord, this baby that will be the Lord? Did we see all of that? No, we read about it in his word. We were told about it by the witnesses that were before us. So it's always by faith that we receive Jesus. And it's by faith that we don't miss Christmas. Make sense? Let me catch up the slides here. I only got five, so I don't know how I get off all the time. Put it on the Hebrew slide for me, please. Yeah, Hebrews 11:1. Y'all know it. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. I like that word, conviction, but another word is to be certain. Some of your translations say be certain of things not seen. Either one works, right? If you're certain that Jesus is the Christ, then you shouldn't miss Christmas. You wouldn't miss Christmas, right? Because he's only the Christ, and he's only the proper sacrifice on the cross because of this moment, because he came into the world as a human being. It doesn't work outside of that. He has to, in order for him to take our place, he has to be like us. Because Romans 6:28 says, the The penalty for sin is death. Right? God's going to collect on the sin debt. That's just a fact because he's just. But because he loves, he collects and forgives at the same time. Isn't that amazing? And you know, people who aren't believers, who don't understand or haven't received a gift or haven't stepped into this grace, they sit back and they're like, these Christian people, they celebrate the brutal death of this man. That is just crazy. And it is, really. But it's not if you understand what it's about. So really, at Christmas time, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating this little baby boy born in the flesh so he can die brutally. That's what we're celebrating. I don't mean that we're excited about the fact that he was brutally murdered like that. But we celebrate the fact that God loved us that much. We celebrate the fact that we have a God who is willing to... Jesus willingly left the presence of the Father, made himself less than what he was, so that he could go to the cross. You see. So we have to be sure of what we hope for, and we have to be certain of what we can't see or did not see, if we're going to not miss Christmas. Right? And I'm as guilty as any other person on the planet, because every year in the last 3 to 4 months of the year, storm or no storm, it always gets busy in my life. Christmas and other things. It's just, I tell people all the time, it's like during Christmas time or Thanksgiving, it's when it seems like everybody that knows me wants to call me, hey, come out and do this. And I have to tell them, like, y'all know I'm a preacher, right? You know that, like, Christmas is happening, right? You know that that's one of our busiest times of the year, right? Right? And I have to just keep reminding them. But if I'm not careful, if you're not careful, we're going to use that as an excuse, which will cause us to miss Christmas, you see. We can get so busy with the celebrations and the to-dos that we miss Christmas. Let's not miss Christmas, y'all. Let's make it a point that whatever we got to do, wherever we got to go, whoever we got to be with, to ask God to help us remember what we believe. Help us make it about what happened when Jesus was born into this world. Yeah? I wonder how many people actually lived on the planet when Jesus was born. You know? It was more than a few, I would imagine. But only a few showed up to see him. Remember? You know how the story goes? People came, some people. Many of them wanted to kill him. From the time he was born until the time they did put him on the cross. And they all missed Christmas. The very first Christmas, they missed it. And people have been missing Christmas ever since. And you can make Christmas about anything else you want it to make about. But if you take it away from Jesus, then you just missed Christmas. And the world's been trying to steal Christmas since it started. Since what we read has happened. You look in Matthew, we just read that it was prophesied that this would happen. It wasn't something that just happened, and these two young kids just made up a story so they didn't have to tell on themselves for doing something they shouldn't have been doing. That's what everybody thought, but that's not really what happened, was it? And because of their faith, they did not miss that Christmas. Can you imagine Mary being the mother of Jesus You want to talk about some Christmas gifts, y'all? Right? Every Christmas, I try to take a moment. I don't know if I'm always successful, but I try to take a moment and look at our Christmas tree. And I just think to myself, if there's never ever anything ever under that tree, any gifts, is Jesus enough? You know? And it's nice to have Christmas gifts and food and whatnot. But without Jesus, what does it really mean? If without Jesus, this is Archie Gilmer thought portion. Without Jesus, we're all just running around spending a bunch of money to make ourselves look good. If it's not about Jesus. If it's not about Jesus, it has to be about ourselves, doesn't it? Nothing wrong with spending money. Nothing wrong with going broke. Nothing wrong with giving gifts. There's nothing wrong with all of that as long as it's all about Jesus in the flesh so that we could have Jesus on the cross. Isn't that amazing, y'all? And I want you to sit back and think about it, because we all are believers and have been for a while. And it's easy for us to sit back and say, well, yeah, of course that's what happened. And we teach our kids that's what happened. And they just believe us because we're their parents until they become teenagers, and then they're like, we don't believe nothing you say. Right? But at some point in our lives, we have to get serious and look at that and say, did that really happen? Did that really happen? If I came to y'all and said to y'all, I had a dream last night. An angel of the Lord told me something. I'm pretty confident, I don't know which one of y'all, if some of y'all, I'm pretty confident some of y'all would go home saying, I think a preacher's out, lost it a little bit. Not because you don't trust me, not because you think bad of me, but because it would be hard to believe. It's hard to wrap our minds around something like that. The supernatural. The ways of God. It's difficult. That's why it takes faith. That's why it's important. If Christmas isn't all about salvation, if it's not all about putting your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you'll miss it. Simple as that. You'll miss Christmas. Don't miss Christmas for any reason. There is nothing on this planet that is so important that we would miss Christmas over. Satan will tell you there's plenty that's so important that you could miss Christmas over. But this Bible is telling us there is nothing more valuable than salvation. There's nothing more valuable than Jesus, our Savior. And it's by faith, isn't it? Everything about the Christian life is about faith. Trusting God. Everything about being saved is about faith. Trusting what God's word says is true. As crazy as it is. The Christian life has some crazy things involved, doesn't it? I mean, some out there stuff. You know, like loving your enemy? Come on. Y'all know that's hard. It's not something you naturally want to do. You know, how about this? If you just repent and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, right, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you can have eternal life with God, in the presence of God. Have you ever sat back and said, I wonder how long eternity really is, and try to get your mind wrapped around that, you know, or that God knows every hair on your head. That is there or was there. You know who I'm talking about. Make sense? How does God know? How does God know every little detail about me? He knows exactly how many different colors are in my eyeball. He knows what every everything that's come through these eyes and through these ears and out of this mouth. He knows it all. You see. You see, we can't afford to miss Christmas. Nobody can afford to miss Christmas. Because if not, if we miss Christmas, if we don't have Christmas, then we're hopeless. What I think is amazing, and I'm gonna be done. I'm gonna shut it down. What I think is amazing is that God knows all of that and significantly more about me. He knows things about me that I don't even know about me. And yet, still, here's this baby comes into the world. For no other purpose except for to go to the cross so I can be with God. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to see that. It's hard to look at a little, just imagine this little baby who would grow up to be a man who would make a choice to go to the cross. Because God sees what he created in me, not what I've done to me. Isn't that great? I'm so grateful that God looks beyond the mess and sees what he created and what he loves. So in order for us to have a Merry Christmas, we have to make it about Jesus. We have to accept that little baby as our sacrifice, isn't it? It's like if you or I had to take that baby, raise that baby, and then nail that baby to the cross, ain't no way. There ain't no way you or I could physically do that ourselves. But you know as well as I do, we've all had a role in that. Right? It would be different if Jesus just showed up miraculously as a grown man. And it would be harder to believe that it would be him in the flesh, actually in the flesh. He had to be born of a woman in order to be the right sacrifice. But I remember when my son was born. I mean, he was, you know, anybody who has children or a family member and you watch that person be born, it's like something about a baby. It's like, okay, nobody wants to touch it because it's just right. It's not messed up yet. And then we all get over that and we start loving on it and touching it and influencing it and teaching it, and then suddenly, next thing you know, they need Jesus. You see. We're all cute and cuddly until we grow up. But there's Jesus. It's hard. It's just hard to sit and think about for a long period of time. A child is the one who paid the price. Once he grew up, put himself on the cross. And if we think about that, if we force ourselves to think about that long enough, I believe we'll have a Merry Christmas. And we won't miss it. I love you and the Lord loves you. We're going to sing a song of invitation. Now's the time to be saved if you're not saved. Because if you're not saved, you've definitely missed Christmas. I told you what to do to be saved. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins if you believe that Jesus is the Christ. Let's stand together and we'll sing.